take our Bibles this afternoon, if we turn again to the same chapter we were in with Pastor Weber, to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter 5, O men of God, arise. That's a great song to be sung. That's a great theme to embrace. Men of God. How many young men are here in this room today, and you're thankful to live today as a young man? Would you say amen? Hey, I'm thankful to be of the male species. It's a blessing. You know, one of the benefits of being a man, that I can go to the bathroom by myself. Ever seen when girls go to the bathroom, they go in clusters, and I can't figure that out. I don't have to. And when I go into a department store, I don't have to touch every item, and there's great benefits. But I want to tell you, young men, it is a great blessing in a society today where it is becoming increasingly popular to be effeminate and to try to tap into the female side of things. You can be a man of God and recognize God's will and desire for your life, and I'm thankful for that. We're going to look this afternoon here in these few moments regarding an individual that's not a man, and primarily we're going to look at a woman, and it will be, I hope will be a help. I have planned to go a certain direction, and then with Pastor Weber's challenge, I just felt the Lord leading here. I don't have a sermon here, but I do want us just to see some Bible truth that I think could really help with all the other Bible truth that we've been hearing. So let's stand together. We'll read our passage, and then we'll watch and see what the Lord does. Mark chapter number 5, verse number 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. I think she knew something about the Affordable Care Act there. And well, you don't understand that, but that's a great description of it. Verse number 27, let's keep reading. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Look at it again in verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. Want to preach and just focus in on a real account that took place that's given to us in the inspiration of God's holy word that will help us today at this moment. I want to preach on this thought. What to do with your issue? What to do with your issue? Everybody has issues. What do you do with your issue? Thank you. Please be seated. I As a preacher and as a pastor, I'm inundated with issues. People call and text, "Pastor, can we meet? I've got an issue." Married couples come in and say, "We have issues." You ever heard anybody say, "Oh, we're just going through some issues right now"? You're sitting here today and you have some issues. You may think your issue is the one sitting next to you or behind you or in front of you, but the fact is we all have issues. A number of years ago, a naval submarine was hit and began to have some major problems, and it was unable to surface, and so rescue operations went forth to try and rescue six sailors that were trapped in the forward torpedo room of that submarine. And as one of the divers on the outside of that submarine placed his helmeted ear outside of that submarine, was interacting and corresponding, communicating with those trapped inside, and one of the trapped ones inside tapped out in Morse code a question. The question that was asked was, "Is there any hope?" And unfortunately for those six that were trapped, there was no hope. They died. They perished. In this passage of Scripture, we have two individuals that have been mentioned. Pastor Weber dealt with the crazy man possessed of the devil. And here we have two others that Jesus is going to do something with and through and about concerning their issues. I'm thankful to say, starting off, that Jesus is the solver of our issues. No matter what your issue might be, Jesus is the answer. And I'd just like to stop and say, thank you, Jesus, for solving my issues and being the one to continue to solve my issue. We have contrasted here. The Bible gives us this passage that we just read, a man in verse 22 by the name of Jairus, and then in verse 25, a woman whose name is not given to us. And we see a great contrast. Two different individuals, two different kinds of issues. This man Jairus, he's a man. The woman with an issue of blood is a woman. A total contrast. This man Jairus, he is coming to Jesus in public, and he falls down before Jesus publicly. This woman comes to Jesus privately. This man Jairus, he's well known in verse number 22. He's a ruler of the synagogue. He's responsible for the management there of the services of the synagogue. He's well known. This woman is literally a nobody. And what she might be known for is nothing that would get her any type of fame or popularity. This man, Jairus, he is a ruler. This woman, we're not even told if she has any kind of an occupation or title. This man, Jairus, he's wealthy. We're told of this woman in verse 26, she's broke. She has nothing. This man, he has spent 12 years enjoying his daughter. This woman, however, has spent 12 years enduring her issue. This man, Jairus, he's rich. He's famous. He's popular. This woman that has an issue is poor. She's common and she is unwanted. It's quite a contrast. The common denominator between these two is that they both had an issue and they realized there was only one who could solve that issue. You might be here as a pastor's child. You might be here and not even know who your parents are. I want you to know that the same one that can help a preacher's kid is the same and the only one that can help a child who does not even know the biological parents. Jesus is the solver of the issue. I want us to talk about this woman with an issue. The Bible says here in verse 25, a few things about her issue. It's a private issue. The Bible speaks of this being an issue of blood. It's something that is almost difficult to even talk about in a public setting. It's this hemorrhaging of blood. It's a private thing. This is something she would never raise her hand in a church service and ask prayer requests for. She wouldn't want this to be placed on the prayer request sheet. It's a private matter. There are some of you in here, perhaps you're carrying an issue that you would not even want to speak to somebody about. It's just such a private thing. You don't know of anybody else, perhaps, who's going through what you're going through, and you're experiencing something that is just uncomfortable to talk about. That's this woman. It's a private matter. Can I remind you, however, what is private to you and what you can't talk about to someone else? Maybe you can't talk to your parents about it in your mind, you may think. Or maybe in reality, you can't speak to your parents about it. You can't even talk to your closest or best friend. Can I encourage you with this? That there's one who knows all about your issue. He knows your down-sitting and He knows your uprising. He knows the words that will come out of your mouth before they even come up through your throat. He knows the thoughts before they've ever even formulated in your brain. He knows all about your issue. It's a private matter. This issue that she has, it's a purity issue. This issue is something that's made her under the law, Leviticus tells us, it's made her unclean. She is in the sight of others unclean. Everything she touches is deemed unclean because of her issue. She shakes somebody's hand, then they're unclean. They have to go and get cleansed. Whatever she wears, that garment is deemed unclean. Wherever she sits, that is deemed unclean. You know, she can't even go to the synagogue to worship because she is in the same category as those who have leprosy, and she's deemed unclean. Now, she can go into the synagogue on the eighth day of her purification. But in doing that, she has to offer two turtle doves to the high priest, and he has to intercede on her behalf before she can go into the synagogue and worship. The problem is, for 12 years, she's not had an eighth day of purification. Can I say it this way? Her purity issue has kept her at variance in worshiping God. I do believe there's an epidemic of purity issues taking place. Our society hasn't gotten a handle on how to get clean and pure in their brains and in their heart, and how to have purity in relationships. So what our society is doing is redefining and saying, it's okay to be impure. It's just okay. In fact, our public school system is saying, we're going to help you out since it's going to happen anyway. We're going to help you in your impurity. But that's only because they've not figured out the one and the only one who can solve our issues is Jesus. It's a purity issue. Let me say this about her issue. It's a past issue. For 12 years she's been carrying this. Maybe some of you, maybe not even very much past 12 years old, but you've had some issues that you just can't get freed of in that past issue, as Pastor Weber's talked about. Whatever our past may be, we're products of some of those things. You didn't choose certain aspects of your environment. But if we don't get to the issue solver, those past issues, it affects us in the present. And everything that she's been struggling with stemming 12 years ago, it's affecting her in the present. And I believe it's affecting her so much so that if Mark chapter 5 ends and she doesn't get to Jesus, she's going to die because of her issue. And some of you, your present right now is greatly affected because you've never resolved your issues. Some of you have a hard time in just listening because you're carrying baggage from these issues. It's also a physical issue. This is actually what it was. It was something physical. And I say this to point this out because I believe that the devil's a master at taking something physically and adjusting or manipulating or tampering with and affecting us in such a way that we find ourselves unable to respond in a spiritual way as we should. It could be a common cold. If you don't understand how to deal with some of the physical things, then it can throw us and affect us spiritually. It could be something such as a drastic issue physically as cancer, from a cold to cancer. And God is allowing these things, but the devil loves to tamper with these things. And there are some real aspects to what you may be going through physically, but it makes no difference what the issue is. Jesus is still the answer. There's also some people aspects to her issue. The Bible tells us in verse 26, she's suffered many things of many physicians. Those that she's entrusted herself to. Those that she's looked to as being the ones to help her. I think many times we complicate, I think sometimes in our attempt to help, we may complicate the simplicity of Jesus solving our issues. If I say accountability, an accountability partner, you need somebody to be accountable to. Does that sound familiar? Have you heard something like that? You need to get to somebody to be accountable to. You need somebody to hold you accountable. Does that sound familiar? I don't have to go into that. Would you raise your hand? Are you with me? Do I need to do sign language? Are you with me? But I want to tell you, I think sometimes we misunderstand that. I had a young man, college-age young man, tell me, I want you to know, preacher, I'm trying to deal with this issue of impurity in my life. And he said, I think the answer is, I need an accountability partner. If I just had somebody to be accountable to, that would be the answer. And I said, you're absolutely wrong. An accountability partner is not the answer. Having someone to be accountable to is not the answer. An accountability partner ought to be one that will keep pointing you to the answer. And she had people issues, no doubt, that hurt her, let her down. But I want you to see this real quickly. You with me? Look at verse 27. I want you to see the resolving of her issue. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. Here's one who has a private issue. It's a purity issue. It's a past issue ongoing for 12 years. It is something physical that's affecting her in a spiritual way. It has to do with people having failed her and let her down. But we see in verse 27, when she heard of Jesus. I'm not sure what she heard about Jesus. Maybe she heard that Jesus had healed a man who had never walked for 38 years. Maybe she heard about Jesus healing people who had never seen and be able to see. Maybe she heard of Jesus healing those who could never hear and all of a sudden being able to hear. Maybe she heard of Jesus taking 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeding 5,000 plus. I don't know what she heard, but when she heard of Jesus, it did something to her. It ignited something in her. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why the emphasis upon preaching. That's why you're not going to have the heavy, heavy dose, the unbalanced, heavy dose of just games. Because it's not the games that will generate and cultivate faith in the issue solver. But it is the Word of God. And the Bible teaches us that she heard something of Jesus, and it ignited within her this desire to get to Jesus. Oh, And the Bible says, Psalm 18 and verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Psalm 34 and verse number 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him or delivered him out of all of his troubles. Daniel 3 and verse 17, those three Hebrew children said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver thee. Oh, the grandest theme through the ages rung, 'tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue, 'tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. It is, our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. You know, I think there are two pitfalls. There's always seemingly a ditch on both sides of every truth or every good thing. There's a ditch. And if we're not careful, we go from one ditch to another ditch rather than embracing that truth. And when it comes to this matter of getting right with God, revival, or it comes to this matter of getting our issues resolved and solved by Jesus, I think there are two errant views. There are two ditches that people find themselves in, two wrong concepts. One is the concept that says, I'm too bad, just too far gone. I've tried it, doesn't work, I can't do it. And Pastor Weber alluded to that thought in his mind, I know that this is the answer, I just can't. It won't work for me. I think the other wrong view is, I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't look at pornography. I mean, we don't have a TV, a computer. I don't even have an Etch-a-Sketch. You know, there's no way I can. I can't. You know, my dad's the one who writes the rules and everything in the institution where I go. I can't do that. You know, you don't have to look at pornography to have moral failure. It's not the looking that causes you to be the loser. It's the heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked. The two wrong views concerning getting to Jesus, letting Him solve your issue is, I'm too far gone, I'm too bad, I'm in too rough a shape. Or the other one that says, I don't think I need it. I'm not sure that I need this. I just came along with the group. I was brought here. I was drugged here. I don't really need this. But I'm thankful that we read here of a woman. She had some problems. She had an issue of blood. It was something that she could not get solved any other way. And what we find is that she heard of Jesus and she came in the press behind and touched His garment. And what you're going to find, young person, what you will find, no matter what you've tried, no matter how many revival meetings you've been through, no matter how many youth conferences you've attended. I mean, I meet young people that are like youth conference junkies. They just go from one youth conference to another youth conference, and they're all about comparing the conferences. And you can go to every conference there is in America for young people, and you're not going to find your issues coming to an end just because you get into the crowd and you throng around Jesus Christ. You're not going to experience the end of the issue. Your issue comes to an end when faith is exercised in the direction of the divine. She had to exercise her will. She purposed to get to Christ. Some of you just planned to get here and that was all you had in mind. There was a crowd. Look at it. Look at it again. Notice in verse number 24. Jesus went with him. I want you to say the word when I give you the cue. Jesus went with him and much people followed him and, what's the next word? Thronged him. Notice in verse number 30. Verse number 31. And His disciples said unto Him, Thou seest the multitude, what's the next word? Thronging thee. And sayest thou, who touched me?
Even the disciples, the counselors that are there, they said, whenever this woman touched Jesus, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" The disciples said, "What kind of question is that? Don't you see the throng that's here? Don't you see the crowd thronging thee?" Can I tell you, young person, listen to me. Thronging Jesus doesn't solve the issue. Trusting Jesus is what solves the issue. You can be bumping into Him. You can be crowding around Him. You can be hearing about Him. You can be reading about Him. You can be talking about Him. You can be teaching about Him. But it's none of those things that connects you with the Divine One. It is trusting Him, trusting Him, trusting Him. And that's exactly what this woman did. I want you to know God is here. God is wanting to solve your private issue. God is wanting to solve your purity issue. This woman's defiled, she's destitute, she's dirty, and she's dying. In everybody else's eyes, she's a nobody. Jairus comes. Everyone knows when he steps up, people back out of the way. And he goes to his knees, and everyone's looking at this man of respect and man of authority who says, "Jesus, my 12-year-old daughter is sick. You're the only one who can help." And here's a woman, dirty, destitute, dying. Nobody knows her. Nobody wants to get around her. The Bible says, verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. Look at what she says, verse 28. She said, "If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole." She touched His garment, the hem of His garment. And many understand that the rabbis would wear these garments and they'd have these tassels on the end, on that hem. And these tassels were representation of the different aspects of the law, so that when the rabbi would walk, he's literally walking in the precepts and aspects of the law. And so she's saying, if I can just reach out and touch the garment that this man is wearing. She reaches out and touches the H-E-M, defiled, destitute, dirty, and dying. Healing came in Jesus' name, and a miracle occurred. And the moment she touched the hem by faith, the hem touched her. You say, "I don't have that kind of a faith." He that cometh to God simply must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What are you saying? Not entirely sure what I'm saying, but what I'm trying to say is this. Get to Jesus. Get to Him. You don't know how much of a loser I am. You're a great candidate. Get to Him. You don't know how much I've blown it. Then get to Jesus. You don't know how private this is, then get to Jesus. Look at what happens, and now I'll get done here. I want you to see what happens when you get to Jesus. Not only did He heal her, but I want you to see what Jesus gave her. Remember, Jairus, the man who was somebody, and here's this woman who's a nobody. And notice what happens. The Bible says, verse 29, "And when she touched the garment, and straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Look at it, verse 30. And Jesus, what's the next word? We've got to do better than that, verse 30. And Jesus, what is it? Jesus. Hey, will you turn to the one next to you and say, "Wake up," all right? Will you do that? Look at it again, verse 30. And Jesus, look at it. And Jesus, say it with me. Immediately, not after the youth summit is over, and immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" She touched by faith the garment of Jesus, which caused her to be connected with the divine one. The healing didn't come from the H-E-M. The Pentecostals have it wrong. It's not an handkerchief, a handkerchief where you find healing. If you think your issue can be solved by getting a hold of a special handkerchief, I have 20 of them in my suitcase, and I will give them to you freely for $19.95 if you buy into that. But the fact is, it's not found in a garment. It's not found in a garment. It says the virtue didn't come out of H-E-M. It came out of H-I-M. And Jesus is the one that made her whole, and it didn't take her. It didn't take her days. It didn't take her weeks. It didn't even take her hours. But immediately she knew it. She knew it. She knew that Jesus had done something. But notice what he does. He turns in verse 30, and he says at the end of verse 30, "Who touched my clothes?" Jesus is a Jew and masterful at asking questions. He never asked questions to get information. He asked her after healing her. He asked her, who touched me? The disciples said, "What kind of question is that? Look at everybody." Jesus knows who. He's not asking for himself. He's asking for her sake. He's trying to establish a relationship with a nobody from nowhere with nothing. He wants this nobody from nowhere with nothing to know that he's more than just a healer. He wants her to know that he wants to be her friend. He wants to be her deliverer. "Who touched my clothes?" She knows that God did something. And she, the Bible says, well, look at verse 32. "And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing." He knew. You know what happens in the invitation, I think, a lot of times? God's been doing some things in your hearts and life. God's doing it. I think the invitation a lot of times is God looking to see who's going to admit that he's done something in your life. He's looking through the crowd. I see the same thing in John 5. There's a multitude. And Jesus goes up to one man and says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" I think he's doing the same thing. I think he's looking throughout the crowd and says, "I want to solve all of your issues. There's enough power in the name of Jesus. There's enough effectiveness in the blood of Jesus. There's enough healing in Jesus' name that he can solve all of our issues, all of our issues, all of our life. He is doing a work, but he's asking, who's going to come? Who's going to let me come in? Who's going to let me be more than your Savior?" And the Bible says, and notice the next verse in verse number 33, "The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth." Have you ever heard? You've had Minutemen around long enough. You've had Dr. Jim around any. You've had Brother Bosler around enough. You would have heard this statement. She unloaded the truck. She didn't pick and choose. She knew he knew. She knew he was the answer. She knew he made a difference. But notice what Jesus gave her. That's what I want you to see. Verse 34. "And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Here's a woman. She's destitute, dirty, she's defiled, and she's dying. She has a private issue. It's a purity issue. It's a physical issue. It's a people issue. She has an issue that's a past issue that's affecting her to this very day. in Mark chapter 5, and here she comes to Jesus, just hoping to be able to touch the hem of His garment, knowing there's something about the name of Jesus. She had heard of Jesus, and she touches, and what happens? Jesus gives her His undivided attention. He stops in the midst of the crowd. I believe with all my heart He's looking in this crowd for somebody who will just reach out to the one who's the solver of your issues, and He will give you undivided attention. But then not only does He give her His attention. See, we expect people to give Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, attention. You expect people to give the preacher attention. You expect people to give attention to Dr. Jim, to Pastor Van, to your preacher. But this woman's not used to being given this kind of attention, but the divine King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, starts and gives her attention. Then here's my favorite, verse 34. And He said unto her, you see it, verse 34? And He said unto her, say the word,
daughter.
Jairus comes to Jesus and says, my daughter is dying. And this nobody from nowhere with nothing reaches out to Jesus. And He doesn't just give her attention. He gives her His affection. And He says, daughter. Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with our grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know He cares for me. He's the answer to your problems. He's the answer to your sin problem. He's the answer for your issues. But He doesn't help the crowd that is thronging. He only delivers the one who is trusting. Would you bow with me, please? Lord, I preach the burden that You put on my heart and how I needed it. Thank You for caring about the nobodies from nowhere with nothing. There's not a soul alive. There's not an individual in this room that does not have an issue. And issues that cannot be fixed apart from You. Would You help us recognize it? Would You help us to see and to have that spark of motivation, divine motivation, as this woman, not even given her name, but this woman who heard of Jesus and was compelled and was thrust to get through the crowd and get to Jesus. Lord, would You stir within us that grand theme that our God is able to deliver? And let's get to some deliverance today. Lord, thank You that You turned Your attention, undivided attention, to those who are unworthy and undeserving. And You give Your affection because You so love and are so moved by people who will just trust You. And I pray that You take this wonderful crowd of teenagers and move them from being just in the crowd and thronging around the theme of Jesus, and help them to see the simplicity of trusting You, and know that it is still sweet to trust in Jesus. Help us, I pray.